But the reality was that we, from a normal electric plug, like 230 volts, we were charging the EV 95% of the time.
In this episode of the Simply Clever Podcast 2.0, we will be offering some advice to people who have decided to switch to electromobility. Imagine the situation. You have two cars at home and you are thinking about trading one in to get an EV. Maybe one with a small battery that's ideal for towns and cities. I was in that situation not so long ago and had questions like, is it okay if I just use a standard plug socket to charge the EV? How is charging going to affect my bills? And should I start thinking about solar panels, especially after energy prices went through the roof at the end of the year? I decided to ask somebody with lots of experience in electromobility, home charging and solar energy. Today's guest is EV enthusiast and YouTuber popularizing electromobility and photovoltaics, Jan Staněk, aka Electrodad. Jan invited us to his house close to Brno and showed us what it's like to live with two e-cars in the garage. My name is Vojtěch Koval. Technologies and innovations have been my main topic as a journalist for the past few years, and this is Simply Clever Podcast 2.0. Thanks for tuning in. Jan, welcome to Simply Clever Podcast 2.0.
Thank you for having me.
We will talk about electromobility from the, let's say, beginner's point of view, kind of, because I'm right now in the situation where I'm thinking about buying a new, actually not new, but secondhand EV. I haven't thought that much about the, let's say, electro installations in our house. And so I'm really at the very beginning of my journey to electromobility. And I would love to, let's say, use all the experience you have with EVs. So maybe we can start with your story from the very beginning, because if I remember it correctly, you were basically in a similar situation as I'm right now. You actually bought the secondhand EV and you were charging from the, let's say, regular plug.
Mm-hmm. That's right. 4 years ago, we purchased as a family an older EV, the first generation of the EVs, a 30 kilowatt hour battery. So we basically, for the time we had the EV, which was like 2 years, we were most of the time, because we have a house and we have a new garage, a 6 year old, and we have three phase installation. But the reality was that we, from a normal electric plug, like 230 volts, we were charging the EV 95% of the time.
And it was enough?
It was enough because with 230 volts, 10 amps, you have 2.3 kilowatt in 8 hours of, in Czech Republic is for 8 hours, you have the cheaper tariff of electricity. You can charge 17 kilowatt hours. And with that EV, that was 400 kilometers. We could go every day with the battery. When we live close to Brno, which is, we actually do a day 45 kilometers.
Yeah.
That means that we could, with those 8 hours of normal super slow charging, we could do twice Brno and back.
Yeah, because I was asking about that because that's basically one of the biggest fears, like for the people who are thinking about electromobility, that they don't want to buy a new one yet. Maybe they want to try it out with the secondhand car and they're afraid of the battery capacity. If it's enough to go to work and back, if they need some special installment in the house. So for me, that's a good news that right now I can buy a small car and use the classic plug.
Mm. Yeah, I would be a big advocate to try out a used EV. It's also in the concept of circularity. We don't need to buy new things all the time, right? And you will be very pleasantly surprised, one, that the batteries are in much better shape than we would think of when we are using our mobile phones or tablets, that we think that in 3-4 years it's gone. The battery, that's not the case with EV because you have the buffer, right?
Yeah.
You cannot use the whole capacity. And also the good practice is that you don't charge 100% every day. One European is only traveling 30 kilometers per day. And if you have even used EV, which does whatever, 120, 150 kilometers per day, it still means that you can charge every third, fourth day, right? And so the good practice is that you only charge to 80% or 90%, it's also fine. And then the battery will basically last forever. Not forever, but,
quite a long time, yeah.
Yeah, it's very likely that it will be more than 20 years because it's the modern batteries with their architecture, how they are well heated up in winter and cooled down in summer, and the sophisticated battery management systems, they last 3,000 cycles of fully charged and fully discharged cycles before they degrade by 20%. With Škoda Enyaq, with the new car, easily in real world, it goes over 350 kilometers. You talk about a million kilometers. And, Tesla talks about a million miles, right? That before it degrades by 20%.
It's kind of a good practice to buy an old one, to learn that different, mindset of the driver, that you don't need to, right now, when I'm out of gas, I go to the station, fill it up, and then drive till it's gone. For the EV, it's much better to plug it basically every day or whenever I have the opportunity. Maybe charge only 20-30%, but for my way to the city center, I'm living in the very edge of Prague, so it's 10-15 kilometers to the city center and back. Well, I'm easily charging that overnight, maybe within a few hours. And that's something I need to learn, but to think about this way.
Exactly. With the small EV, it would actually be consuming maximum 20 kilowatt hours per 100 kilometers. Yeah. And we talk that from a normal plug, you would, in 8 hours of super slow charging, you get 17 kilowatt hours, right? Within 8 hour time frame, or you can take a longer time, right? And then you charge more. Or in Czech Republic, we have 3-phase installations. Then with this normal red, 5-pin socket, which is 16 amp, then you can basically fully charge within those 8 hours where we are a country where we have a cheaper electricity. If you have an EV within that 8 hours window every day, with Enyaq, which has 77 kilowatt hours of usable energy in the battery, with the 16 amp, which is 11 kilowatt hours, you can fully charge. You can every day, leave the garage having full range of the car, right? We just said it's not wise. Yeah. It's better to charge to 80-90%. But that's not the luxury. And it will only cost you, let's say, twice 15 seconds, right? You plug it in and you unplug it in the morning and your car is every day fully charged, right? You don't have that luxury internal combustion.
Yeah, you need to spend some time on petrol stations. But from your own experience, how does it influence the, overall consumption at the house? When you're charging, in your case, in your garage, from the regular plug. Mm-hmm. So how does it affect, the total numbers?
Mm-hmm. We are 5 members family. We are in our house actually right now. And we were using 4 megawatt hours of electricity per year without heating the house or heating warm water, because that we were using natural gas for that. And then with the EV, with the first EV, the old one, for the easiness of the math, let's say we would do 20,000 kilometers per year. We actually did 30, even with a small car. If it would be 20,000 kilometers, and let's say we would 75% of time charge at home and 25% when we are on longer journeys, right? Then 20,000 kilometers with, let's be conservative, 20 kilowatt hours per 100 kilometers of consumption, that's 4 megawatt hours of electricity needed for charging the EV. And out of it, 25% gets charged out there. That's 3 extra megawatt hours plus those 4 which the house had the consumption.
Yeah, but you have to, so you have to count with that.
Yeah.
With the annual numbers. So when did you start thinking about the fast charging, let's say?
Mm-hmm.
Because If I'm not wrong, you had the opportunity to charge with the three-phase
cable. Yeah, we actually, the previous owner of the EV actually had the cable, which allowed the faster charging. Let's say faster, right? Not fast. The fastest, you know, out there when we are on the roads. But the reality was that we only use it within the 2 years, like five times, that we came really with empty battery, and next day we were traveling across the country again. But I would advise that it's wise with the EV also get this, let's say,
portable
wall box. Yeah. We can call it that way. It looks like a dummy box on a cable. Actually, it's really smart device inside because it's a lot of insulations and a lot of devices which make sure that your electricity is safe, because you have huge new appliance in your household, which is the EV. And it actually, you don't need to be charging with, let's say, if you have three phase, with those 16 kilowatt and 16 amps, because you can set it to, let's say, 6 amp, and then would you only charge at 4 kilowatt, which is, for example, with our photovoltaics on our rooftop, it's more compatible.
Just to sum it up for somebody who haven't heard about wallbox ever, it's basically a device, either this portable version or you have it like stationary at the garage or whatever, so it kind of like help you to regulate, to control your consumption or charging of the vehicle. It's a safety device basically, and it might be quite clever because you can use some clever functions like, let's say, timing, scheduling the, mm-hmm. the charging for better price and whatsoever.
This is a dummy cable, yeah. Right? What I have in my hand is just dummy cable, which doesn't have the smart, let's say, timing. Is that's what the car allows,
yeah.
You know, that sets the time when it will charge using cheaper electricity, for example. The benefit of this particular charger is that you can take it with you when you travel.
Wherever you go, yeah.
But when it comes to having smart charging, then it's wise to have like a wall box, just holding just a cable. But then it's the wall box is the device which allows intelligent communication with your house to make sure that you don't exceed your capacity of the electric installation. Let's say typical in Czech Republic would be 3 times 25 yeah. amps for the house, right? And so the wall box can communicate with the house. So if you have, for example, you know, bigger devices running at night when you're charging, then it makes sure that only the available energy will come to your car, and when you are heating with electricity, for example, etc. So that's when we actually installed first of all box when we actually got our second that we started to have as a household two EVs.
Yeah. It kind of like regulates the electricity when there is some other consumption, maybe not charging, because it's not a good idea to charge and use some big device at the same time. That was what I was going to ask, actually. Like, when was the moment when you installed the wallbox? So with the two EVs, it's probably better to have some kind of device, as you described, to have this possibility to regulate, let's say, the output.
We actually installed two wall boxes for each EV separate. But the reality is, because now we have EVs which have over like ENIAC, right? You have over 70 kilowatt hours of energy. That means that if you would run daily 30 kilometers every 10 days, you do charging, yeah. right? So reality is, in practical terms of how we run as a family, is that we almost never, like it would be like 5 days within 365 days during the year where we would actually charge at night both cars, mm. both EVs. So it's almost never happens.
So has it changed the way how you use the EV, or more how you charge it with the wallbox when you compare it to the regular plug? Or it's just the possibility to, let's say, work with that
right.
little bit in a smart way.
What changed in recent months is that electricity energy went through the roof.
Yeah.
And we are actually got to a stage where we are actually buying for hourly rates, real, you know, market price real electricity price, yeah. as a household. And then it actually makes sense that we typically, the cheapest electricity is between, let's say, 2 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the morning. So then it makes more sense that we would actually charge with those 11 kilowatts. And in 3 hours, you actually charge 33 kilowatt hours. And that's basically what's enough to charge every like third day during the week, even more. And so we just optimize the window when we charge, and then we actually use the maximum power of the onboard charger.
But that was more like based on the market situation, not with...
Yeah, otherwise there's no difference between charging from the mobile wall box or the like wall mounted wall box.
Did you have to make any changes, upgrades within the electro installation in the house for like when you installed the wall boxes?
We didn't initially. The first 2 years we didn't do anything because we have our garage was 6 year old, so you know that should be pretty modern and tested. Then with the wall box, you can actually, you know, if you are, you know a little bit about electricity, it's not rocket science to actually install it. However, the legislation says in Czech Republic that you cannot start using the device unless someone comes who attests it and gives you
a
report that you can, it's actually safe and with proper measuring devices, etc. So that was the case. But we didn't do any, you know, upgrade of the electricity, you know, main current coming to the house. You know, we didn't go from 25 amps to 40 amps. It's no need.
You didn't need any like extra fuses or whatever?
The modern devices should have a specific insulation type A, which actually such a device has inside. However, we were using one wall box which didn't have it. Therefore, the electrician has actually installed it. That was the thing which should, according to legislation. Sorry, I'm not using the proper, you know, terminology.
It's okay.
but you have to use. So that was one thing which we did. Otherwise, even though we have now fully electric household heat pump, you know, for heating, etc., we can live with 3 times 25. You know, it never happens that it would, you know, blow the fuses,
because that's again quite a big fear in internet forums and whatever, like, oh, we need to redo all the electrics in the house. Of course, if you have a house, I don't know, 50 years old, it might be a good idea to check it if it's okay. But
I would think you should check it unless you have house which is like younger, let's say 10 years, then you should go ahead and really make sure, because it's even the normal plug is as if you had electric kettle running for 8 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it is some power, and you just want to make sure that, you know, you don't set a fire.
Yeah, it's not that much power at the moment, but you run it for quite a long time, and that's a little bit problematic. Right now, and you've mentioned that, right now you have the photovoltaics on the roof, actually for 3 years, if I'm right. So why did you get it? Why did you buy the solar panels? It was connected to the EVs, that you actually had 2 EVs at home, so you kind of thought it's a good idea to do
actually
it.
So it will be in summer, it will be 4 years, and it's basically came right after the first EV. And our motivation was we had the opportunity as a family to live and work in China, in the country of China, for 2.5 years. And we were just, we were depressed from the pollution. And when we came back home, and then we realized basically Czech Republic, looking at per capita numbers, when it comes to CO2, we are actually emitting double what the average Chinese does, right? So then it's like, and big part of the pollution which China makes is actually our products which they make for us, and we consume them, right? So it's also our pollution. So what can we as a like an average family consumers do? And it's all down to stop burning fossil fuels in your car, in your household. So we left natural gas, and then the rest is electricity. And then also, how clean is your energy mix, right? In Czech Republic, we still are relying on 40% plus on burning coal or burning natural gas. So then as a household, it's like a natural thing that you do, that if you have the opportunity, install you know, for us, the legislation allows 10 kilowatt peaks, and that's what we went after.
Yeah. So it was kind of, let's say, ecological motivation
exactly.
to be clean or cleaner by yourself. So I was just thinking out loud, like, if it's a logical next step for the EV owner from the regular plug through wallbox and faster charging to have the photovoltaics on the roof. For me, it's kind of like starting point, let's say, because as I've mentioned, I'm actually next week probably going to buy a small EV. And for me, it was like, maybe I need to start think about photovoltaics, not to like to cover whole consumption at home, but maybe not to produce more consumption and to pay more money, basically. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. not sure if it's going to work like for free, let's say, like the free electricity. But, you know, to have the opportunity to at least cover the consumption of the EV from the majority of it, so like from the clean energy.
Mm. I would probably be advocate of, if the roof allows, then the delta between installing whatever 5 kilowatt peaks to 10 kilowatt peaks is relatively cost-wise, yeah. relatively little, because it costs a lot that people have to, you know, take stuff up the roof and the planning and all that, documentation and all that. So I would probably be advocate to go for more installed capacity, because that's like, that was the path for our household, where we had natural gas, we didn't have any EVs, and consumption was in the morning and in the evening, yeah. right? So it's really, it only makes sense that you have actually battery system in the house. So it actually, you can run the whole night from the sunshine you had during the day. And then once you have the photovoltaics, you realize that with the EVs, you have a huge battery where you can, a lot of the summer extra energy you are getting, you can simply store there. Then you have the storage in the house. And then once you switch to actually heat pump, which we did a year ago, then suddenly it makes so much sense, right? And we also left a month ago, we left, you know, cooking with gas. It's all electricity now. And basically we consume 90% energy of what we make.
Hmm.
From the sun.
And you have the batteries in the back of your house. It's like twice an output of the solar panels.
Exactly. We have 19.2 kilowatt hours installed capacity in the battery in the house.
And that's enough? Like to combine the actual, let's say, output of the panels and to have this safety 200%, let's say, of the energy.
It's in real world, it's like enough for, because you, again, it's like with the battery in the car, you don't deplete it to 0% yeah. the battery, and you don't charge it to 100%. So it actually, in real life, it's enough for like 36 hours. Of our household without charging the cars or without heating. Yeah. Like those are extra appliances which consume a lot. So the reality is that it's not that the way that you would actually charge the battery in the house and then at
and
night charge from that battery your car, because your car will have like 3-4 times bigger
yeah.
battery, right? So the reality is that charging EV for like 8 months per year is that we charge it when the sun is shining during the day, right? Because it's my work allows me to basically, I'm leaving the house for like business trips like twice a week. So 5 days a week I'm working from home or it's weekend.
Right? Yeah.
So if you have your work allows this setup, and after COVID or during COVID, right? For many people, like white collar people, that actually that's the setup we can work, right? So you charge your EV from photovoltaics when the sun is shining.
Yeah, and use the battery as the like
buffer
extra,
for
yeah,
the household.
Buffer, yeah. So most of the time, you're basically, if I've seen your video on the Electrodad YouTube channel, and you're most of the time charging the batteries from the grid to have it ready, and then during the day use the actual output of the solar panels?
It's actually that, let's say from October to March, because it's also the heating season,
mm-hmm.
all the energy, if we have surplus energy, we use it for the heat pump.
For the heating, yeah.
Right, so during that half a year, we only charge at night from cheap energy from the grid. And the other half of the year, let's say from April till September, we basically only charge from the sun, okay, or pretty much only charge from the sun because it's enough.
Okay. And then based on how often do you charge the EV, that makes the difference. Just to give to the listeners and viewers a full picture, it's not only about the solar panels at the roof, not only about the battery at the back of the house, actually, but you need some kind of, like, I would call it a clever device to, let's say, regulate what kind of electricity you are using at the moment, and based on how much do you actually produce from the panels, how much do you need from the grid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like basically the intelligent device is the inverter, yeah, in the house, right, which has a 10 kilowatt power. And as long as there is some sunshine and there's some electricity in the battery in the house, it's using this electricity to feed the devices. And once there's no energy, then it starts buying it, or there's not sufficient energy, yeah, right? Because you can be charging and using home appliances at the same time, and it can be exceed those 10 kilowatt, then it will buy some extra energy from the grid. And otherwise, it's once the battery is depleted, then it starts at night charging from the grid. The beauty of it is that since we are now buying on hourly, basic real life, let's say, market price for the energy, suddenly this year the inverter has a new magic function, which is that 4 o'clock in the morning the energy, as I said, is basically the cheapest,
yeah,
and it will charge the battery in the house to 60%. So we actually, the most expensive energy is in the morning and in the evening. So the first peak in the morning, which we run from that cheap energy which we used, charged the battery in the house at night. And then during the day, usually you, even at winter in our country, you still get some sunshine, so it charges the battery and you still have some juice for the evening.
It is like kind of, I don't want to say difficult, but we have to mention that you're not a typical user. You're enjoying that. Let's face it, little bit.
It's my hobby. Sure, it's my hobby. It's became my interest, right? I want to inspire a million people to switch to EVs or clean energy. So yeah, I even though I'm, you know, I have nothing to do with that in my professional life, a manager of a small investment fund. So yeah, it's my big hobby. At the same time, it's not rocket science if you don't want to make it rocket science. But at the same time, I love looking at the app and look how the sun is shining, etc. And look what the forecast will be, whether it's going to be shining or not. It's like beautiful gamification.
So with the system set up like you have, with the inverter, with the batteries, with the panels, you have like quite a good way how to do smart charging for the EV, as I see it. And again, I was watching your videos, and I really like the idea that you basically, with the FBEs on the roof, you can basically, let's say, limit the price of your charging thanks to the solar energy.
Yeah, it's like economically, it works beautifully together, right? Because you use this term hedging, right? So you're hedging your price for which you are actually selling the electricity to your own household from the roof.
Yeah.
So you can calculate the, you know, what will be the period when it pays back, which in our case is like 12 years now. And also you are hedging the price for which you are actually buying the electricity, right? Because it's, you know, it's the price which you just in between yourself agree what's the price. So in our case, it would be like, 18 cents, euro cents, something like that.
That's a nice price, actually. But if you want to save more, you can basically set it like for lower price. Of course, it means some changes within how you use basically the system.
Yeah.
But you can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about optimizing that the maximum energy you produce from the solar panels that you use it yourself.
One thing we haven't mentioned yet is when I was asking, like, if you change the way how you charge your car with the faster charging from the three-phase charger, has it changed with the photovoltaics? Because you're not using as much power with solar panels.
Because with the wall box, during the winter time, when we actually are charging from the grid, we would typically use the maximum power, 11 kilowatt, what the onboard chargers of these modern EVs usually do. And whereas in summer, when we are charging from the sun, we would not use the maximum power of 11 kilowatt. We would go to like 6 amp, and then it's like 4 kilowatt, or 8 amp, which is 5.5 kilowatt. Because the even though it's installed 10 kilowatt peaks, that's theoretical maximum. Yeah. In reality, during noon in July, it would be like 7.5 kilowatt in our setup, because we have the panels facing southeast and southwest. So it's like the curve is more flattish. It's not towards south directly. So we are using lower power to charge for a longer period. Yeah. So let's say in summer, we would start charging before the battery in the house is full. Let's say 10 o'clock in the morning, and we charge until 5, because the sun is shining until 9.
Okay. Yeah, it would make sense like to use, you cannot even use the full power, because otherwise you wouldn't have anything else for the rest of the house, or you would have to use the batteries.
Yeah, we would have to buy energy from the grid, and what's the point, you know? Yeah. Because during the day, you know, what's the point if the sun is shining?
Okay, yeah, Jan, thank you for your sharing the experiences. I hope we might help to somebody, because for me it is really helpful to listen to experienced users, because for me it's really a new thing, and I'm really gonna have to start probably learning how to do that. So thanks for your input.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was yet another episode of Simply Clever Podcast 2.0. The next interview will be available in 2 weeks on simplycleverpodcast.com or your favorite podcast platform. Until then, take care, and if you happen to be driving, drive safely.